Book of Genesis, chapter 5 this morning. We come to Genesis chapter 5 this morning. We looked partially at this last week. But we come down to verse number 18. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And then we looked at this one simple statement about the life of Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. He had a testimony that he pleased God. But Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. There's another statement that if you were to just start reading through the Bible, you'd have to ask, what is this all about? In Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 24, Enoch walked with God, and then it says this, and he was not, for God took him. Just a casual reading of the Bible would make you stop and say, what did I just read? What does that mean? We read Genesis chapter 5 and people live, people die. And then we come to a statement about this one man that Enoch walked with God. And then it says, all of a sudden, he was nowhere to be found. Just stop and consider for a moment what that really means. I mean, just think about it in the reality of it in your life and mine, that we're here this morning and we look around, we see each other, we talk with each other. And Enoch was alive, and for 300 years, actually 365 years, but he lived upon the face of this earth, and he was as real as you and I were. He was as alive as you and I were. He had relationships with his family, with the people around him. He communicated with them. He lived amongst them. And he was there, and then all of a sudden, he's no longer there. One moment of time, just like that. And the Bible says God took him. And for any one of us, now we that have studied the Bible and know the Lord, and have read the rest of the Bible, we know where this is leading this morning. But to the casual observer, the person that first opens up the Bible, and you're reading through the Bible and you've read about creation, you've read in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. You begin to understand about the nature and the person and the power of God. In Genesis chapter 2, it goes into the details of creation and the creation of Adam and Eve and the beginning of the family unit. You come to Genesis chapter 3 and you read about how Adam and Eve sinned. And in Genesis chapter 3, you read about how the Lord dealt with them, and then the Lord clothed them with coats of skin. In chapter 4, we go on and we read about Abel, and we understand that what we saw in Genesis chapter 3 is now brought to our attention in Genesis chapter 4, that if we're to be acceptable with God, it has to be through the shed blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And we looked at that a few weeks ago. And we traced the Lamb of God throughout all of Scripture, beginning in Genesis 3 and Genesis 4 and Genesis 22 and Exodus chapter 12 and Isaiah 53 and John chapter 1 and the book of Hebrews. And we saw the Lamb of God all the way through the Bible. And you read in Genesis chapter 4 that Abel brought an acceptable sacrifice, that lamb, he and his sacrifice was accepted before God. Cain refused to just go the way of the Lord. Cain went his own way. He didn't bring an acceptable sacrifice. It wasn't accepted of God. Because the Bible says, "For by grace ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us." And as a result, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and departed from the presence of the Lord. And we see a whole segment of society going off into sin and just living their life and building cities and doing all the things that the world does, but apart from God, departing from the presence of God. And then in the end of Genesis chapter 4, we see in verse 26 that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And people began to worship God, and people began to seek after God. People began to have a personal relationship with God. And we come to Genesis chapter 5, and all of a sudden the Bible speaks to us of one man named Enoch. Enoch. The Bible begins to open up to us a door that speaks to us and helps us understand what it means to have a relationship with God. That it's possible to walk with God, to fellowship with God, to please God, but it's only through Jesus Christ. And then in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24, it says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Boy, I tell you what, without the rest of the Bible, we'd be hard-pressed to understand what this was all about. And yet, God has given us the complete Word of God, that the Word of God can teach us and explain to us what this means. And so I want to take your attention this morning. I want us to turn over to begin with Hebrews chapter 11. We're only going to stop here for a moment. Hebrews chapter 11, because Hebrews chapter 11 gives us an explanation, if you will, in greater depth of what is spoken of in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter that speaks about the faith of different individuals throughout the record of Scripture. People that lived just like you and me. People that were as real as you and I were. And the Bible speaks of their faith. And in actuality, in Hebrews chapter 11, in chapter 11, it starts off with a commentary on the book of Genesis. For in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Here we go. It goes right back to Genesis. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so first, it first speaks about faith in regard to creation, and the faith and belief that there is a Creator. Our God is the one that created everything. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the creator of the world. And then it goes on and it speaks about Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. Now we see the faith of Abel. We see the difference between the faith of Abel that God had declared his righteousness. Then we come down to verse number 5. By faith, Enoch, By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And look at this, and was not found. You know what that tells me? That tells me that people looked around and said, where did he go? What happened? What happened? I mean, he was just here. Hard for us to grasp that, isn't it? Hard for us to really comprehend the reality of that. But the reality is this, that one day there was a man as much alive as you and I by the name of Enoch that pleased God, that walked with God, that by faith in the promise of the Messiah Jesus Christ had a relationship with God. And as he walked upon the face of this earth, one day he was here and the next he was gone. And he was not found. In other words, his son could have said, hey, where's Dad? Where did he go? His grandson, Lamech, could have looked around and said, where did he go? His neighbors, where's Enoch? Enoch was a visible presence in the world. For the Bible says, if you turn, hold your finger in Hebrews chapter 11. Hold your finger. Go over to the book of Jude. You see, Enoch was not someone that people didn't know about, hadn't heard about, or weren't aware of. Enoch was a very visible presence in this world, as we are to be a visible presence in this world. We're to be a light in this world. We're to be a testimony in this world. We're to be a witness in this world of the reality of the things of God. In fact, we're really supposed to be a testimony and witness of three important things. Sin, judgment, and salvation through Jesus Christ. And this is what Enoch was a witness to. Not only by his life, but by the message the Bible says he spoke. In the book of Jude, in verse number 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And Enoch had a message, and the message was this, a message which Noah would preach. Judgment is coming. Hey, folks, listen. That's the message of the Bible. Judgment is coming. No one's going to escape. Judgment is coming. Not only personal judgment, but worldwide judgment is coming. And the things that are going on in this world today, well, I tell you, when you study the scriptures, the things that are going on today, they just further attest to the fact that it is getting closer and closer and closer and closer. But Enoch, way back then, said the Lord is coming with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. To execute judgment. And yet the message of the life of Enoch is for the believer. And the message is this, you and I don't have to fear.
That's right.
You and I don't have to fear because of the testimony of what God did in the life of Enoch. Because you see, back in Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And that death is speaking of judgment. That he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And so I want this morning, boy, that was the way of introduction. I want this morning to go through the book of 1 Thessalonians with you. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now we're going to go through it briefly. And I know you just inside chuckled. You said, yeah, right, okay. But when you take Genesis chapter 5, you take Hebrews chapter 11, you take Jude, and you read and you take those three and you put them together. And then you open up the book of 1 Thessalonians, which was one of the earliest epistles that were written to the early church. And what a message of hope it is. And what a message of comfort it is. And it all is an exposition of what was first planted in that seed testimony of Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not because God took him. And I want to bring your attention to two things in 1 Thessalonians. First one is this, that as believers, we have assurance. Hey, you know what? Someone say amen this morning, please. Wake up.
Amen.
If you're a believer this morning, folks, listen. This ought to thrill your heart. Because the world is going to face a horrific judgment.
That's right.
We could take the time and we could read Matthew chapter 24. We could read 2 Thessalonians. We could read the whole book of Revelations about the things which must shortly come to pass. And the world is going to face the wrath of God and the wrath of the Lamb. And I tell you this morning, it could happen any day. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse number 2, it says this, "For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord that's spoken of in Revelation chapter, beginning in chapter 4, 5, and 6, and on throughout the Bible. The tribulation that's going to be poured out upon this earth. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ with 10,000 of his saints to set up his kingdom. And all that takes place. And the Bible says people are going to hide themselves under rocks, try and escape and flee from the wrath of the Lamb. The day of the Lord, it's coming as a thief in the night. But the Bible says for the believer, we don't have to fear.
Amen.
I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. Remembering, Paul says he's writing to this early church. And he says, we remember. He says, remember your work of faith. We remember your labor of love. And he says this, we remember your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And here's Paul's testimony to this church and how the gospel affected them and changed their lives. He says, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And then it says this, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus. And look what it says, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And this is why I say, the testimony of Enoch is one of assurance. Because we are assured by God and his word and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have been delivered from the wrath to come. It doesn't get any simpler than that. It doesn't get any surer than that. This is God's word, and God is faithful to his word. And I could spend hours just assuring you the word of God is true, but you know what? You either believe it or you don't. And I tell you what, I've staked my life on this book. Just like Paul did. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. And he will keep me. And he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul writes to this church. And he says, the reason why we wait with patience and hope is because we know and are assured that we don't have to fear the judgment of God. Boy, it's a fearful thing when you start searching the scriptures and reading and understanding about the judgment of God. It's a fearful thing, folks. And every person's deserving of it because we've all sinned against God. But God provided a lamb, Jesus Christ, as we see in the testimony of Abel. And that lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, and he's taken my sin away. And if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, he's taken your sin away. And Paul says, as a result, we don't have to fear the wrath to come because he has delivered us from the wrath to come. But instead of fearing the wrath to come, because we have assurance, we can anticipate something much greater. We can anticipate what was seen in that just that brief statement about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He was not found, for God had translated him. Well, what's that all about? Well, Well, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's our anticipation. The day of the Lord could come any moment, folks. It could come right now. It could come right now. Boy, I tell you what, if you ain't awake now, you will be if you're a believer when the Lord comes. Amen? If you aren't excited now, you will be. Because if I can't get you wound up about it, the Lord Jesus Christ is certainly going to get you wound up about it. Because this is what's going to happen, folks. This is what's going to happen. This is our anticipation. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I know we've read this so many times in our life. So many times that I think we get, it becomes common to us. And it shouldn't. It should be exciting. Because the Bible says this is what we're waiting for. This is what we're hoping for. This is what we're looking for. And look what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. Folks, we have hope. Our hope is Christ. Christ has risen from the grave. Christ is coming again for you and me, right? Yes. That's our hope, folks. Hey, we have no hope in this world other than Jesus Christ. Christ is our hope.
That's right.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
If your hope is in this world, boy, I tell you, you got one messed up hope. Our hope is in Christ, and here's our hope. This is our hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there it is. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Paul says, listen, this is my word. This isn't something I've made up. He says, this is God's word. This is the word of the Lord. From way back in the testimony of Enoch all the way through. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, he says, listen, there's coming a day where there'll be two people in the field and all of a sudden one will be there and one will be gone. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. And it could happen any moment.
Amen.
Christians need to wake up to the reality of what God says. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself. Think about this. The Lord himself. The disciples, when they saw Jesus Christ go up into the glories of heaven, the angels stood there and said, why do you stand there gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which has gone up from you, will doubtless, is going to come again as you have seen him go up. And the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, that's you and me as believers today, I think, because it says, we which are alive. Now, from up here, that's about half of you. I'm only kidding, okay? But we which are alive. We which are alive. Check your pulse. Are you alive this morning? Put a mirror up in front of your face. See if there's any condensation on the mirror. We which are alive and remain. Look what it says. Look what it says. We shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. We're going to be caught up together with the saints there in their graves, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And look what it says. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. You know why it says comfort? Because when you look around at this world, it is one mess. It is one, I mean, it is just getting to be one mess after another. And yet, for the believer, just as the hymns that we sung this morning, we are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is well with our soul because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We understand. We're aware. But two things, we have an assurance that we have been delivered from the wrath to come. And that assurance is in Jesus Christ. And we have an anticipation. It's a new word. Anticipate. Whatever. An expectation. We're looking forward to what the Lord Jesus Christ has promised he's going to do. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I just want to read verse 1 down through verse 11. But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You know, way back in Genesis chapter 5, way back in the first generations of people that walked upon the face of this world, there was a man named Enoch. What a man he was. He walked with God. He pleased God. He believed God. He had a testimony that he pleased God. And all of a sudden, one day, he was not found because God took him home. And way back then, there was a message, just a little seed, that throughout the scriptures would begin to blossom and give us a message of hope in these days in which we live, a message of assurance that we know that we've been delivered from the wrath to come through faith in Jesus Christ. A message of anticipation. There, I got it out right. That we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. We're listening and we're looking and we're anticipating that moment. My charge to you this morning is this. Don't get distracted by all the things of this life. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep looking to him, listening for him, and waiting for that moment where we, like Enoch, will be taken up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What a day that's going to be, amen? What a day. And listen, could be today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word this morning. Lord, I pray that our hearts have been stirred as we think of the assurance that we have and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I do pray if there's someone here today and they don't have that assurance, that they would call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Lord, thank you that you've delivered us from the wrath to come. Thank you that you've given us such a great hope that we can look for your coming again. We give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.